TV.
Who says I can't keep track? You don't want to say. What, they don't think I know that I left off with the Christopher versus? Oh, they don't think I can remember that I have to get back to that. Of course I remember. I remember everything. Yeah, I still had some of Christopher versus to do. I got caught up in this very important topic of the grace of God. I absolutely remember that I didn't finish that. Yes, unfinished business. Sorry, folks, you came in the middle of that. This is Martin Zender. Yes, for the record, I do remember that I have still some of Christopher's verses. Remember Christopher who accused me of blowing it on human free will, like Christopher thinks humans have free wills. I'm going to go back there and tidy that up, finish it up. But this is just too great of an opportunity to talk about the grace of God. And I want to start today's show again with an appeal to Tony Nungesser and anybody who, works closely with the Concordant Publishing concern, whether that's Ace Theo or maybe Rob Weil, if you guys can write Tony and to look at that definition of grace in the back of the keyword concordance. It definitely needs fixed because it doesn't fit the context, does it? It doesn't fit Luke 2:40 to say that grace is favor granted to those who deserve the opposite. You're telling me that Jesus Christ deserves the opposite of grace? Unworkable. So that must be changed. So if we could get somebody to, make sure that happens. I'm not very good at these kinds of details of following through with this. I can just light the fire and then I hope that other people can take care of it. Contact Tony. Maybe Ace, are you still in good standing with the concern? I mean, I am. I'm not in bad standing, but I'm just busy with this load here. So thank you for that. I would love to get on that. I'm going to do one of my favorite things, and that is to go through some verses. And I have one particular verse in Acts, really Romans 4 also, but Acts, that is just will prove to you the absolute, totally unworkability of joy as a substitute for grace. And yes, I am going to let this rest. Maybe after today. I think I've made my point. I'm also going to count on other people to approach Clyde, especially after today. Approach Clyde, and I'm not telling anybody to take, I'm not telling him to take his video down. I'm just saying correct the record. If you want to leave the video of error up, that's up to you, but correct the record. And his closest friends have to do it. It's like you count on your closest friends to tell you if you have bad breath, right? So your closest friends need to tell you that you need to retract. You need to, retreat on this topic because you've made a bad mistake. And grace is the unmerited favor of God. And I'm not even saying an apology is necessary. We're all human. Just, you made a mistake, but a lot of great information got out about grace. So, speaking of great information about grace, by the way, I'm Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. And again, I'm probably going to move on after today if I can get through these verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. Since you surely hear of the administration of the grace of God that is given to me for you. And this is one of the verses Clyde read in his video. And he said, oh, what a great thing to put joy, to substitute joy in there. Clyde said, it's not the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the joy of God. And again, that sounds wonderful, just not true. Let's look at the greater context. Since you surely hear of the administration of the grace of God that is given to me for you, for by revelation the secret is made known to me, according as I write before in brief. Verse 5, in spirit the nations are to be joined. The nations? The dogs? The untouchables, the unspeakables, the nations are to be joint enjoyers of an allotment and a joint body and joint partakers of the promises of Christ Jesus through the evangel of which I became the dispenser in accord with the gratuity of the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's the favor of God that brings in these former idolaters. And here it is again. Grace being played against an entire people whose main thing was ignorance and idolatry. And now they're being brought near. It is not because God is experiencing an emotion of joy. It's not because Paul's ministry is an evangel of joy. I wouldn't even know what that would be, an evangel of joy. What the hell is that? The administration of the joy of God. What the hell would that be? The administration of the joy of God? I don't even know what that would look like. Running around telling everybody that God is ecstatically happy, but that God has shown favor to people who were formerly disfavored to the max. That is the administration of the grace of God, and it is accordingly the gospel of the grace of God. And may no one touch that truth. May no one change that truth or sully that truth or pervert that truth in order to make a splash, in order to devise a new revelation, in order to get his followers to say wow or awesome or cool or neato. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For in grace through faith are you saved. In grace, not in joy, in grace. We're not saved by joy. We're not saved by an emotion. We're saved by the favor of God. Joy doesn't work here. Grace is beautiful. This is not out of you. The faith is not out of you. It is God's approach present, not of works. Grace, not of works. There it is again. Grace, not of works. Works, merit-based. Grace, not based upon merit. Romans 7, 25. This one is so obvious. Paul has been in Romans 7 talking about how the good he wants to do, he can't do. And the evil that he doesn't want to do, he does. And he's in a terrible state of conflict. And he ends this in verse 24 of Romans 7 by saying, a wretched man am I. What will rescue me out of this body of death? And the answer is grace. Grace is the only rescue. The unmerited favor of God. Only that could touch a wretch like Paul. That saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That comes from Romans 7, I think. Amazing joy. Jeez. Paul says, a wretched man I am, what will rescue me? Joy? Again, joy is the effect of grace, not the cause. Clyde is taking the cart and putting it in front of the horse. And the horse is wondering, oh, what the hell's going on? What the hell's that cart doing up there? Yeah, indeed. Grace is the engine. Grace is the horse. Grace pulls. Joy follows. Joy will follow an announcement or a realization or recognition that God favors you, not based upon your behavior, your actions, your attitude, your wretchedness. Romans 6, 14. For sin shall not be lording it over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. There it is again. You're not under law. You're under joy. The administration of joy, you're under that. You're under. It just tells us nothing. It's an emotion. As great as it is, it's an emotion. We're not saved by an emotion. We're not. That's good. We're not saved by an emotion. How could we be saved by an emotion? Wow, I mean, that just hit me. I mean, I knew it was unworkable, but to think that we're saved by an emotion. No, we're saved by an action. Not an emotion, an action. And the action is God being generous and giving and loving and giving us presents and favoring us even while we are still sinners. That's an action that shines against our wretchedness. As Paul says, "Oh, wretched man am I, what will rescue me?" An emotion? No. The favor of God that is the opposite of law in that it is not based upon merit. Now, something different. First, something different. We're going to look at the adverb form. The adverb adds ly. It is graciously. It's the same root word, though. For this, I want to start in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. Colossians 2:13. Who rouses him from among the dead, speaking of God, who rouses Christ from among the dead, you also being dead to the offenses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he vivifies us together jointly with him, dealing graciously with all our offenses. So the very thing that under a law administration would have brought us under the condemnation of God, that is our offenses, God is dealing graciously with them. Is he dealing joyously with our offenses? Do our offenses cause God to say, "Woohoo, I am so full of this happy emotion. God, why are you so joyous?" Because of your offenses. I'm looking at your offenses. I'm so joyous. Dealing joyously with all our offenses? Absurd. Doesn't fit the context. Basically today, what I'm doing is just absolutely murdering the possibility, the very possibility that joy could be substituted for grace. And you'll remember also the video that Steve Martin made with Dean Wilkinson, who's a partner with Chris Carnahan, and Dean said in that video how excited he was, super excited about this new revelation. He couldn't wait to go through the Bible and substitute joy for grace. Well, do it here, Dean. Don't just do it for the noun. Do it for the adverb, graciously. I don't care if you do it for the noun, verb, the adjective, or the adverb. Joy doesn't work. God does not deal with our offenses with an emotion. Deals with grace. Luke 7, verses 41 and 42. This is really powerful. This will tell you a lot. Luke 7. Verse 41 and 42. Two debtors. This is a parable of our Lord's. Two debtors paying usury. Usury was high interest. Two debtors paying usury were owing a certain creditor. The one owed 500 denarii, yet the other 50. Now they, having nothing to pay, they're in debt. They have nothing to pay. He, that is, the creditor, deals graciously with both. There's the word, the root word charis, grace, graciously. He deals graciously with a debt. So the problem with these guys is they can't pay. They're bereft of any money. They're sunk. They're in debt. They owe this creditor lots of money, and the creditor answers the problem with joyousness. He answers it joyously. No, he answers the problem graciously. They do not warrant him letting them off the debt. This is a definitive passage where we let the word charis speak to us here in the adverb form. Is the opposite of debt joy? Let me ask you this. Is the opposite of debt joy? How does one get out of debt? Well, either you pay it or somebody who's joyous over it, does that get you out of debt? No. Grace gets you out of debt. Grace gets you out of debt. This is a practical action. And you can see here how important it is to understand the definition of this word. Unmerited favor. This creditor showed the debtors favor and brought them up to even. You guys are good. That's what God says to us because of grace. You guys are good. This is an action based on the love of God that comes directly from his heart. Now, if you saw Clyde's video, you heard him go to places where the Concordant, this is sometimes a Concordant literal New Testament has to use different synonyms. So they don't always translate charis grace. Sometimes they translate it thanks because of context. Sometimes I don't like the way they use so many different words to translate a single word. If I want that kind of action, I'll go to the King James Version, but at least they're synonyms. So Clyde pointed out a couple of times where we are to give thanks to God. And again, he made the same mistake of assuming that grace was exclusively for unworthy people. And he said, is God unworthy? We're supposed to give grace to God? Like God needs our grace because he's unworthy and we're supposed to accept him? Well, Clyde just thought that was atrocious. And if that were the definition of grace, it would be atrocious. But it's not. Again, Clyde beats the hell out of these straw men arguments, these straw men definitions. Nobody's saying, as I said yesterday, nobody's saying that the definition of grace is favor given exclusively to unworthy people. It's just the unmerited favor of God. And so when we give thanks to God, when we give grace to God, we're favoring God. And we're not basing on anything God does. It's just that God is God. So we are to give grace to God and to give grace to Christ. Clyde thinks this is unbelievable. I confuse Christ with Clyde often. Clyde just is incredulous how we could possibly give grace to God. That's because he doesn't know the definition of grace. And it's not that we're supposed to give joy to God. No, this isn't a Pentecostal display. Hey, God, hey, I'm so happy. No, it's that we love God and we favor what God is doing in our life, whether God is giving us good, which he does sometimes, a lot of times, or he gives us evil, which he does sometimes, a lot of times. This definition, the unmerited favor, the grace is unmerited favor. When it's coming from God, it's the unmerited favor of God. When the Concordant translates it thanks, it's coming from us to God, but it's still not merited. We're not giving it to God because God is the way we want him to be. We're giving it to him just as we give love to him. Remember, love and grace. Love is the affection of God. It's not based upon any merit, and grace is the favor of God, not based upon any merit. My whole point is the definition fits that context, but there's one word that the Concordant translates charis. They translate it favor, and you did not see Clyde one time in his video bring you a passage where the Concordant Literal New Testament translates charis favor because it completely destroys, as if these other verses don't destroy his argument for substituting joy, this verse. In fact, there are two verses that do. Acts 25:3. The first one, Acts chapter 25 and verse 3. Listen to this. I'm going to start with verse 1. Festus is the governor of Judea. Hotshot. Okay? Big guy. Important man. Roman dude. Festus, stepping into the prefecture after 3 days, went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. But he's up visiting in Jerusalem, and he is going to get involved with Paul's legal case. The Jews have a case against Paul. They thought he brought Trophimus into the sanctuary. And so Paul is on trial, and Paul is at this time in Caesarea. Verse 2, besides, the chief priests and the foremost of the Jews inform him against Paul, or Paul's still in Caesarea, and they entreat him, requesting a favor against him. In other words, the Jews were requesting a favor of Festus against Paul so that he should send after him to bring him into Jerusalem from Caesarea to Jerusalem, making an ambush to assassinate him by the way. But here's the thing. This word favor here in Acts 25:3, this is the Greek word charis, the same exact word that the concordant version other places translates grace. They're requesting a grace. It could have been translated grace. I wish it had been, really. The chief priests, the foremost Jews, were requesting a grace against Paul. In other words, they had no right to ask Festus anything. They had no right that this man would do them any sort of service. They had nothing that would merit Festus doing them a favor. But they requested a favor. A grace. Hey, Sir Festus, governor of Judea, could you send Paul up from Caesarea to Jerusalem? It's not like we have assassins waiting by the road to kill him. No. We just think it would be better if the trial were up here. Just asking you a favor. It is absolutely, completely impossible to insert the definition of joy into this context. Requesting a joy against Paul. Requesting a joy. Excuse me, Festus, we have a joy to request of you. Boom. Kapow. Clyde's position is destroyed. Because if it doesn't work in one passage, it doesn't work in any passage. And yet, unmerited favor works perfectly here. Unmerited favor. There was nothing that these Jews could point to. You owe us. No. It was unmerited, and they were asking a favor. And there's the word favor here, requesting a favor. Requesting a joy? Boom. I'm sorry, Clyde. Your position is destroyed with one verse. Even if you never mind any other thing I've said in the last few days, if anybody has had any lingering questions, this ends it. It's unmerited favor. In this case, it's not the unmerited favor of God, it's the favor of Festus. In fact, the definition in the concordance should be just unmerited favor, period, or favor not granted upon merit. You can leave the name God out of it if you want. Yeah, really, because here it's not God at all. This is why it's so good to look at a passage that is not part of a theological argument, or it's not related to God or the ecclesia. Look at this same word, favor. Clyde never pointed that one out. He can't. It's impossible. And another place, Romans 4:4. It's translated favor there as well. And it's kind of related to the passage about the debtor from Luke 7. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, Romans 4:4. Now to the worker, the wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as a debt. Yep, the word favor there, charis, same word translated grace to the worker, to the one working. When he gets a wage, it's not grace. When the worker gets a wage, it's a debt. You owe him. You owe that guy. But Paul says, yet to him who is not working, yet is believing on him who is justifying the irreverent, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. That's grace. This verse is saying really what is not grace. What's not grace is if you're working and if a wage is due you because of the work. In that case, the wage would be a debt. You would owe the worker a wage because that would be your debt to the worker. And that wouldn't be a favor, would it? A favor has no foundation in worthiness, in merit. So the favor comes to the person who's not working. Here again, we're seeing the contrast between work and grace or favor. Substitute joy here. To the worker, the wage is not reckoned as a joy, but as a debt. Again, completely unworkable. What's being contrasted here? A debt with a favor. A debt is, I owe you. A favor is, I don't owe you anything. You haven't done anything to justify me giving you something, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because I, God, am one who favors. That's what I do, says God. That's what I do. I favor. I love. I send rain. I send rain, I favor, I love, and I do it not based upon your activity. Now that is favor. And again, I'll end with this. If Clyde could have just left the definition of grace intact, the unmerited favor of God, or favor not based upon merit. In the case of Luke 2:40, when it's talked about Christ, if he had just left it alone, we would see a great revelation. And again, that revelation is that not even Christ merited the favor of God because it's not based on merit. As anyone who thinks that they could work or anything who thinks that God owes them a wage, Christ didn't even get a wage for the favor of God that was on Christ. It wasn't even reckoned to him as a wage. It was a gracious provision of his God and Father.